Appreciate the things that have gone before us this morning, and the brother said he would hope to hear me preach. I'd love to hear me preach too. I've done some of both as I've tried to stand before the Lord's people, but it's certainly a joy this today, last night, to be back with the church here at Bethel. And I love you so much, and those that have come in from other areas, it's so good to see you, and I trust the Lord's blessing would be upon you. I would ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you, that the Lord would bless us for a little while to be able to speak in his great name. Direct your attention to some verses of scripture that I believe sort of sums up what I would like to speak to you about today. It's in the first book of John, 1 John 4, verses 19 through 21. Lord willing, I would speak to you about the circle of God's love. The brother spoke a few minutes ago, Brother McCool, about the circle of faith. And we have many times heard about God's love and so forth, but I want, if I can, to show you that I believe that love goes in a circle. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." Certainly, we believe that God's love was first. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So as we look at the circle of God's love, the first thing I would like for us to consider this morning is God's love for us. I recently had noticed in Brother Bradley's paper that there were two articles on the front page about the love of God. It's been one of the favorite topics, and it should be, amongst God's ministry forever, as long as the gospel's been preached. I preached a sermon about 20 years ago or so, and it was on love. And I remember my father listened to it later on a tape, and he told me, he said, "Son, you may preach a lot of sermons, but you'll never preach one better than that." Because it's just absolutely, when we think about the love of God and what it is, it's wonderful to us. We know that the scriptures, first we look at God's love, and we know that it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We believe from every fiber in us that God loved his people, that he loved them so much that he sent his Son and come to die for them. We believe that God loved us when we were not lovable. It says, "For God commendeth his love towards us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So we know that we were not lovable. We know that while that you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We know that there was none righteous, no, not one. And yet God loved his people, and that he made every provision necessary for their eternal salvation. You know, some people believe, they see that whenever you believe in choice and election, that God chose his people before the foundation of the world, that they see this as a cold and calculated decision, that God sees this whole group of people here and he chooses all those people. But I want you to consider, when you look at that, that God did not, he loved every one of us individually. Paul said that he loved me and gave himself for me. And whenever we look at God's love, it's so easy sometimes to say, "I know that God loves his people and every last one of them will live with him in heaven and we rejoice in that." But have you ever thought, God really loved me? He loved me. And when you see that God loved me, a poor wretched sinner, that I know some of a few of my faults. I don't know all of your faults, but I know a few of mine, and I'm conscious of it. And yet I can see that God loved me. He really loved Vernice. He loved me, and he loved you, and he loved all of his people so individually. You know, I had a coach one time in college football when integration had just come in, and He said, you know, sometimes whenever people accuse you of discriminating because you do not like certain people as a race, and it would be that way, but he said, you know, this is an individual thing. And that's the way it is with God. It's sure, they're all God's people, but it's an individual thing, and he loves every one of us individually. You know, my mother and daddy were blessed to have 10 healthy children, and I heard a lady say one time, she had one child, and she said, I never did want to have any more children after having Bill, because I never felt that I could, my love would be the same for him as I had others. Listen, I was number 9 down the list. And I'll tell you, my mom and daddy loved me. They loved my brother older than me, and they loved my brother younger, and they loved every one of us kids individually. They didn't just take it as a blanket, oh, we love our 10 children. No, they loved every last one of us individually. And you cannot take that away. Everyone had their own personalities and their own individuals. But mom and daddy loved us, and we all had our certain faults, but mom and daddy loved us. God loved us. And Paul said that he gave himself for me. He died for me because he loved me. And so what a great blessing that is. You know, we think about individually, the 147th Psalms talks about the stars of heaven. Scientists have estimated that there's about 100 billion stars, and as I understand, in the last few years, that's been upgraded now to a lot more. But the scripture says that God knows every one of those, the stars, he telleth them, the number of them, he knows exactly, and he says, he calleth them by name. Now listen, God calls them by name. You know, whenever the president came out after that space shuttle crash down there where I live, George Bush came on and he read this verse that day. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by their names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. I believe he told the American people that God is in control. And no matter if they had been blown to slitherings, God knew every one of them, not one faileth. And there's comfort in knowing that God knows the names. My grandfather had, I can't imagine how many grandkids. Brother J.C. Stanley, if he preaches good, is my double first cousin. If he doesn't preach good, I move him down about a fifth cousin. But about 3 or 4 generations ago, we had the same granddaddy, about 3 or 4 generations ago. And I'll tell you, the Stanleys had a lot of descendants. My grandfather, I don't know how many grandkids he had, but he had a nickname. He not only knew my name, but my nickname was Black Eyes. And he had a name for all of those grandkids. They must have been 40 of them, of his grandkids. And I always thought, how in the world could Papa remember not only our names, but all of our nicknames? Listen, God knows them. He's given all the stars by name. What God can do, and what great comfort we have in knowing that. He's got them. He's engraved in the palms of his hands. We have no identity crisis with God. You know, I got my identity stolen around December, right at the end of the year, and the first of this year. Someone did what you see on 2020. They got my checks, and they, you know, they made copies and computer-generated signatures, and they stole my identity. Well, I'll tell you, they'll never steal God's identity. He knows every last one of his children. And not only that, as much as my daddy loved me, and as much as I loved him, he pastored for many years, and every Sunday afternoon, I'd call daddy if he didn't beat me to the point. We'd call one another to talk about how church went that day. And for a long time after he was gone, I would catch myself, I've got to call daddy and talk about it. And that's the way it goes. But you know, as much as I loved him, as much as he loved me, that came to a halt. I no longer can talk to him. I no longer, I loved him, but to say I love him would not be a true statement. But God, Not only did he love us, not only did he love us individually, it says nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing's going to separate you. Death separated me and my Father. Death's the great separator in this world. It separates us all sooner or later. But not God's love. It said neither death nor life can separate death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll tell you, that gives me great comfort to know not only did God love me and he loved all of his people, but that he loved me individually and he loved you. You ought to, in the circle of God's love, to think about really and truly, God loved you. He loved you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows everything about you. And yet, in spite of that, he loved you. You know, not only did it say that we love him because he first loved us, we take great comfort in the fact that God's love was first. We never would have loved God had he not loved us first. That was the cause that we love him, because that he loved us, and so therefore we love him. So we started out with God's love, and now we've moved down here and we're talking about our love for God. You know, whenever we think about how much that we love God, sometimes we make confessions that we love God and so forth. But I think about what the Lord himself came to the point that he asked Peter. He'd already been with Peter, and they had walked together. It'd come to the point, you know, Peter loved the Lord. He did everything. He loved the Lord. But Peter was one of these people who you know, he was quick to go forward and fall back. I mean, he'd go forward and fall back. And we some of us can relate to Peter's. He had a great passionate love for the Lord. But Peter had denied the Lord. And this was after the Lord had, he had denied him, and he had been crucified and risen again. And Peter's out on the boat fishing with his buddies. He finally said, I'm just going fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. The Lord Jesus shows up over on the shore, and he calls out to them about they're catching any fish, and they, of course, were not, and he told them how to let the net down, and they realized it was the Lord. And so Peter was so excited, he jumped off the boat and ran on in ahead of the rest of them. And as they were dining there, he told them to come and dine with him, and they were dining. And after that, the Lord looked at Peter, and he said, Peter, do you love me? You know, if the Lord could speak to you today, and he could, if it was just you and him back here, and he really spoke to you, and he says, do you love me? You know, Peter finally became, it said that Peter came to the point that he was grieved over the fact that the Lord asked him that three times. I thought about him being grieved about that. There's a difference in being grieved and being mad. Now, Peter was grieved, and you know something about grief. I think about my own father, that, you know, I'd rather him taking off the belt and whip me, which he did many times. It was probably not quite enough. But us kids had a rather daddy whip us than to talk to us. And I think that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing to Peter. He was just saying, Peter, do you love me? If my daddy was saying that to me in those eyes of kindness and love, and saying, I can't believe you did that. Do you love me? I mean, I told you not to do that. And he told Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, thou knowest I love you. And he asked him again, and Peter said, thou knowest. And he asked him, and each time he said, to feed my sheep and to feed my lambs. And he asked him a third time, and Peter was so grieved. And he said, and I don't think he was mad. He was just sick at heart. And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know all things, Lord. why would you ask? You know my heart. I don't even know my heart, but you know my heart. And you know, Lord, you knowest all things, and you know that I love you. And when the Lord told him then, he said, well, to feed my sheep. And Peter did. He did as the Lord had told him to do. So I believe that whenever we could see ourselves in the position that Peter is in. And I'll tell you, I would dare to say that the great majority of us has sometime denied the Lord. We didn't do it just like Peter did, but we did something when we knew better. We knew it was against God's will, and we came. And many times we would have done worse, but we were prevented from it. Our own hearts are desperately wicked, and who can know it? And so when the Lord questioned him, he says, Peter, and Peter was so grieved. So, you know, the love that we have for the Lord should be so strong. And I know that it is from time to time, but we need to be conscious of the fact that if the Apostle Peter could even deny the Lord, we too can falter and fail and do things in which we shouldn't. You know, one of the things we do is sometimes we leave our first love. The church at Ephesus was a wonderful church. The Lord commended them. They had a lot of noble qualities. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and thou can't bear them which are evil, and there's tried with them which say they're apostles and are found as liars, and has borne and has patience, and my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. And man, they were a nice bunch of folks. But they had a little problem. They had drifted into the point that the Lord was not first and foremost at the church. They were into other things. Not that they had just abandoned the Lord. They were good folks. We can relate to that at some point. I mean, you know, I don't drink and smoke and run around on my wife and hang out at night and do all. I have a lot of noble qualities. I do. I mean, she could have found somebody who'd been a lot worse guy than me. If you looked hard. and our marriages, the marriage counselors would go out of business if we would. I was eating yesterday morning in a Cracker Barrel, and there was a guy that had his back to me at the next table, and the lady was on the other side. And, of course, she was looking at him, but I was looking over his shoulder. And I'll tell you, man, did that woman manifest her love. Her eyes, she looked at him. She looked at him with such great joy. And I thought, well, my, they must have just got married. I mean, you couldn't act that way if you hadn't just got married, but they didn't. They didn't have on rings. But I just thought, man, if that woman would always treat that man like that, or if that man would always treat that woman like that, or in this case, if the church always treated the Lord Jesus Christ the way that he chose Davis, they had a lot of noble qualities, but he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. I, talking to someone the other day, I said, you know, I think what might be the best thing to help your marriage is just to start dating again in your mind. I mean, just start hustling that woman again. Start hustling that man again. Start being, I mean, look, I mean, I'm after you. And if we would take that position that we love them and that we want to do everything, our heart beats with theirs. And my, as the brother said, I make up excuses to get to be with them and to do everything. That's the way that the marriage counselors would be out of business. So many marriages, if we wouldn't leave our first love. I'll tell you, Brother Steve Wilson's wife loved him before he had that beard. And I don't know, but she can do it again. But we love that we do that. Well, he told this, and so whenever we know the Lord loves us, and we would love him back, we have to guard it. Peter just completely denied him, and we might do that. But even if we don't deny him, we may go to church every Sunday. We might be there on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. We may listen to Brother Bradley on the radio, and we may just be nice folks. But we're just not dedicated deep in to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, he loved me individually. He loved y'all too, and I'm thankful he did. But listen, he loved me too. And so the Lord loved me, and I love him. I have to guard against the fact that I'm not going to leave that first love. And so he told the church, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. So we need to examine ourselves and look. And you know, you could say, well, the church at Nashville would never need anything like that. That's the best bunch of folks I've ever seen. Listen, every one of you are individuals. And the only way, Brother Lawrence won't be able to turn that around. It's every one of us individually. This is an individual thing. We come together collectively. But our hearts and our minds are, and this is my heart and this is my mind. And you can't tell sitting there what I'm thinking. And I can't tell what you're thinking. But I know this, so every one of us are individuals, and we need each one to dedicate ourselves to the service of the Lord, that we do not leave him. It says that Paul said to the Philippians, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love. So that we have the same love, the same goals. My wife and I have made it all this time, and because we had the same love and the same, and we had those children. People said, well, we're staying together for the children's sake. I mean, you know, and it does. It keeps a lot of people together, thank goodness, for the children's sake. But Paul said to the church that you have the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, that you might be able to serve the Lord better. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, I was looking at this song a while ago. You don't have to look at it. I'm going to give it to you. It's number 18 in this book. It says, my Jesus, I love thee. You know, that was written by a 16-year-old. You think of the wisdom. Matter of fact, he only lived 10 more years after this song was written. But a 16-year-old, it sits down and says, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. I'm 16 years old. I'm not looking to what I'm going to do in this world. For the follies of sin I'll resign. You know, we got a... over in Texas, they always coming up with slogans, and they've got one that I believe it's got a trash can on a sign. No, it's not. It's DWI. It's a DWI. That's driving while intoxicated. And it says DWI, and then it says you can't afford it. Well, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, we ought to put up signs like that that says the pleasure of sin. You can't afford it. There's pleasure in sin. There's enjoyment. But you remember that Moses said he chose rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. They're temporary. They're going to change. And it said, but you can't afford it. And that's exactly right. Well, this brother here says, all the follies of sin I resign, my gracious Redeemer, my Savior, thou, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me. 16-year-old had some understanding, didn't he? And purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorn on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life and I love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. Didn't know that he wouldn't live to be 26 years old. And say when death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And then listen what he said. In mansions of glory and endless delight, he knew there was going to be a heaven someday. I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright, I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. See, he talked about the Lord had a crown of thorns on his brow, but he said, I'll have a crown, a glittering crown on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. So we certainly take great comfort in the fact that the Lord loves us. And we take great caution in the fact that our love for the Lord, that we do not let that slip, and that we do everything we can. But you know, in looking at this circle, God loves us. We love the Lord. We have another step to make that a full circle. In fact, if you read that text again, it says we love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Now we're getting into some real trouble here. The scripture said that we love him and he loves us, and he explained that. But he said that if we say that we love God and we hate our brother, well, you might want to stop up your ears if it's hurt, but he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we given from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, I've heard a lot of people, I better check my time axe. I've heard a lot of people say how much that they knew that they were going to heaven. And if you don't know that you're going to heaven, you know, you're in big trouble. Let me tell you, the scriptures are very clear on telling you exactly how you're going to know if you're going to go to heaven. It's very clear. You say, well, I'd like to know that. You might not want to, because the scripture says, I forgot the scripture. He has passed from death unto life if he loved the brethren. I remember being a 16-year-old boy sitting in church listening to preachers Saturday morning, and I remember thinking, I don't know how I was so smart at 16, but I remember thinking, I do know I'm going to heaven. I do know I'm born again because I know I love the brethren. No one can ever take that from me. I love those people. I love those people that was there. I love those people who were coming. I love those places where we went to see all those people. Being a preacher's kid, you know, we made a lot of stops. And I loved them all. We made the full circle. And I'll tell you, I remember thinking as a young man, I know that I love these people. I love them and felt a desire at that time to serve them. Matter of fact, that proves your love for them, for the Lord. And he says that you know that you have passed from death unto life if you love the brethren. Now, I know that I've been acquainted with even PBs, I call them short for Primitive Baptists. I've even been around so many of those, it seems very cold. You never know a person's heart, so we won't be a judge. But sometimes people seem to have no love for the other people. They just, I'll go and I'll sit on my pew and I'll sing the songs if I want to and so forth. But, you know, I'm going to do the right thing, but I don't have to just sit in here and love everybody. The scripture says, David said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is when for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's how it's so good and it's so pleasant. I love that word pleasant. It's so pleasant. I wish I had more pleasantness in my life. But he said that for brethren and sisters to dwell together. You know, I think I learned that early on, being raised in a large family, that there was just some things that we didn't do. We didn't fuss in front of mom and daddy. Now, mom and daddy could be gone off to church sometime, and we could get in a real fist fight. Matter of fact, my older brothers and some of the cousins and a few of the neighbors thought it was so good. My brother and I, the youngest one, we were just about the same size and almost the same age. I was a little older, 13 months. And they thought it was so good if we'd fight. I mean, that's just boys. I don't know if city boys did that, but I don't know what country boys did. So we'd fight, you know, mom and daddy'd be gone, and they'd set in. And, you know, I was thinking about even when we'd fight, we were pretty religious. There's a lot of people today who, you know, they've got a fight to carry on, all right, and they're real religious while they're doing it. They always got a scripture. Well, we had one. I remember one time we were bearing down on each other, and one of my big brothers over here said, Alvin, talking to my little brother, he said, it says in the Bible that thou shalt whip thy brother. And man, I'll tell you what, I quoted him one back just before I hit him. I said, yeah, but that says if he's big enough, he can whip his brother, and he's not big enough. A lot of people fuss and fight with each other, and they can always justify their position. He says here that we walk in love as Christ has also loved us. He says in Colossians that we being knit together in love. Man,